You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
If God is for us, then who can be against us? Right, we heard it in the song, we heard it in our reading just a little bit ago, but even outside of that, I'm sure you've heard that said or written before. Maybe it was on a coffee mug, or maybe it was in a card, or maybe someone said it to you when everything around you was falling apart. If God is for us, who can be against us sometimes can sound like just a platitude. Everything is against me. Everything was against me. Everything feels against me. Maybe it's a diagnosis or a loss or shame or anxiety. Or maybe you wonder if there's going to be enough to get through the year or the month or even just the day. So if God is for us, why does it sometimes feel like life is against us? Well, that's where Paul meets us, in Romans chapter 8. But like it is on a mug or on a card or sometimes even out of our mouths, we cannot simply pluck this word out of its, or this phrase or this verse out of its context. Romans 8 is the so what now chapter, based on everything else that has come before it. And so we have to see what has come before it. And we start in Romans 1. We start at the beginning where Paul has been laying all of this out. And he starts with a truth that's really hard to swallow. That we are all guilty. You are guilty. I am guilty. Little Arthur, who's like a month old, who was brought to the waters of baptism last night, he's guilty. It doesn't matter if you're religious or rebellious. It doesn't matter if you're old or young. Paul says that no one is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. That's a hard word to hear. But Paul doesn't stop there. Paul doesn't leave us there. Then comes Romans 4 and 5, which is a turn, not just for Paul, but for history. Right? For Martin Luther, these were the words that changed his life. For years, Martin Luther only heard the first part. You're guilty. You're not righteous. You're not enough. And he believed it deeply. He tried everything that he could to earn God's favor, earn God's love, but it was never enough until he read Romans, really read this book. And he saw the gospel maybe for the first time ever, that righteousness isn't something that we achieve, but it's something that God gives, that we are justified, that we are made right, not by what we do, but by what Jesus has already done. Right, that's the turn. That's grace. That's Romans 4 and 5, where Paul says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the turn for Paul in Romans. That was the turn for Martin Luther in his life and really for the history of the world. And that was the turn for me as well. I grew up with a lot of the same concerns. I knew the right answer. I knew that Jesus died for me. But deep down, I never felt good enough. I wasn't sure if I said the right words or prayed the right prayer or was really sorry for all of my sins. I thought faith meant trying harder, being better, feeling sorry enough for my sins. And I always wondered, have I done enough? Am I really forgiven? And I know that some of you have asked those same questions because you've asked them to me. But then, just like Luther, just like Paul, we finally heard the pure gospel. It's not about how good I am, not about how good you are, but how good Jesus is. That God's love for me isn't based on how I feel or how well I'm performing, but based on what Jesus already finished on the cross. That was the turn. That was the turn for Paul in the book of Romans. That was the turn for Luther. That was the turn for me, and that's been the turn for you as well. But then what? Right? What comes after that? If we've been forgiven, if we've been given this peace with God, what does that mean for how we live? Well, that's Romans 6, that we've now died to sin. In baptism, we are buried with Christ, that we might be risen with him daily, but also in eternity. Sin doesn't own us anymore. Shame doesn't name us anymore. But it still shows up, doesn't it? That's Romans 7. Where Paul gets painfully honest. He says, "For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want to do, those are the things that I keep on doing." And that's the tension that we have in this world, that we are forgiven and free, but we're still fighting. That we are rescued from our sin, but we're still wrestling with it. And just when you start to wonder, will I ever get this right? We flip the page and we flip the chapter to Romans 8, where Paul says, "There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Right? None. Not a little condemnation or less condemnation than you deserve, or not, there's sometimes condemnation depending on how good you're being, but no, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's Romans 8. That's what leads us into our text today, that if you are in Jesus, you are not condemned. Period. And then Paul just keeps building in this pivotal chapter where he says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes." And so Paul gives us all of these beauties, all of these benefits, all of these gifts that we are given as we are in Christ, as we are in the Spirit. But then he zooms out to show us the whole arc, the whole plan of salvation that God has for us, where it says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." What a beautiful chain that is, starting before the very foundation of the earth, where God foreknew you and he predestined you to be his children. And every link of that chain is God's doing. He doesn't just save you, but he holds you. And he finishes what he starts as he glorifies you, especially on that last day when he returns to make all things new and give you new and perfect bodies that will never struggle under the sin of this world again. And so all of this then leads up to that question, the question that we started with today. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And that question hits a little differently as we hear all that has led up to that, but at the same time, what has been against you? What in your life has been pushing against you that makes you wonder if God is really for you? Is it a diagnosis, a relationship that broke down, a sin that you can't seem to shake, a fear that won't go away, a loss that was unexpected or even expected but leaves that hole, or a silence from God that feels louder than anything else? These are the things that make this question feel less like confidence and more like doubt. if God is for me, then why are these things happening? But Paul doesn't leave us wondering. He points us to the cross where he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" The cross is the proof. You don't have to guess if God is for you. You don't have to wonder. He gave his son for you. That's not a small thing. That's not a promise of a good parking spot really close to where all the candy will be thrown and shade at the parade today. Right? That's not a promise of a good day at work tomorrow. That's a promise of eternal love. That's a promise of eternal security. That's the kind of all things that Paul's talking about. Not everything that you want right now, but everything that you need for eternity. Forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal life to all who believe. Those are the words that Paul says are given, the gifts that Paul says are given to us, or excuse me, that Luther says are given to us through the waters of baptism. The gifts that Arthur received last night as those waters were placed on him. The Spirit's presence in our lives, an eternal security. If God is for you, then you don't have to live in fear. And not just fear of judgment, but fear of not having enough. We don't have to cling tight to our time or our money or our energy like it's all up to us. God has already given you everything you need. He's given you the greatest gift. He's given you his son. And if he's given you that, then we can trust him to provide everything that we need. So let's think about the needs as bigger than ourselves. Even bigger than Trinity. But what about what's good, what's needed for the kingdom of God? Today we're just going to sit with this one question. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's not a motivational slogan. It is a blood-bought promise. Not a promise that life will be easy, but a promise that when life is hard, God is for you. God is with you. And Jesus is the proof. Now, next week, we're going to look at that second big question, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? And we'll walk through that list. We'll name the things that try and pull us away, and we'll hear the truth that nothing, no one can pull us away from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But for today, if you hear nothing else, hear this. There's no if. God is for you. And his son, Jesus, is the proof that he gave him for you, and nothing can undo that. Amen? Amen. Amen.